Kellogg, St. Helena, California, October 9, 1901. Dr. Kellogg, dear brother, I am not able to sleep after 12 tonight. When I rose, I found your important letter under my door and read it with intense interest. Thank you. At 1 o'clock, I am answering it. I think we shall send for Dr. Loper. The advisability of this begins to be fastened on my mind. A meeting of the medical board was held at the sanitarium yesterday evening. I suppose it lasted till a late hour. Jones came from San Francisco to attend. He will sleep here on the lounge in the sitting room till 3 o'clock. We expect to start for Healdsburg at 4, and he is to accompany us. I wish to be present at the opening of the college, if I have strength. I have been passing through a severe siege. I have such an intense longing that Dr. Sanderson shall be saved. Last week, I attended a meeting of the medical board in San Francisco. Dr. Sanderson's case was considered. He had sent in his resignation thrice, but the members of the board did not wish to take any action on it without further developments. In private interviews, we had tried to persuade Dr. Sanderson to remain and unite with us in raising the standard of spirituality in the sanitarium, which is as a sick child needing a physician. I had something to present in the board meeting, and then I said, I wish I had the testimonies given me for Dr. Sanderson. He said that he had one with him, and I asked him to let me read it in the meeting. He placed it in my hands, and I read it. I am glad I read it, for it brought light into the meeting. It makes every difference who reads these communications when they are read in a meeting. Dr. Sanderson then talked, but I could not hear a word he said. You know, he talks fast and from his throat. Then the noise on the street beneath made hearing difficult. There were 10 or 12 present in the meeting, and the room was not properly ventilated. For about 4 weeks, I had been unable to sleep past 1 or 2 o'clock a.m. Dr. Sanderson's case has been a heavy weight on me because he cannot see. He is like a man lost in the woods. This burden, together with the close atmosphere of the small room in which we were assembled, brought exhaustion on me. My heart was pressed down as a cart beneath sheaves, and I had to leave the room. A bed was prepared for me in the next room, and after resting for a while, I lost myself in sleep. But ever since, I have felt the exhaustion which always comes when I have been poisoned by impure atmosphere. I have also had a cold. Before this board meeting, Mrs. Sanderson left the sanitarium and came to San Francisco, and Dr. Sanderson followed her. He consented to return for a while, but she declared that she would never go back, never. However, she is now here, sick, and he is here also. Yesterday, a meeting of the board was held at the sanitarium when Dr. Sanderson could be present. He had several serious operations to perform. He is an excellent physician, but the enemy has sorely tempted him. He says that he has received a letter from you in which you ask him to come to Battle Creek. I think this suggestion is timely, and that it would be best for Dr. Sanderson to go to Battle Creek. I believe that he will endeavor to help you. And I believe that you will be the help he needs until the terrible delusion upon him is conquered. I think this delusion is breaking. He says he sees the mind cure science in a different light. But it seems singular, seeing his wife is not a wholehearted Christian, for him to think that her strong mind could be a help to him. I think that you have acted very wisely, and that it is very kind of you to suggest that Dr. Sanderson come to you. I trust this will be the means of his salvation, and that God will reward you. I have an intense desire for Dr. Sanderson's present and eternal good. I cannot give him up. I feel toward him exactly as I would if he were my son. I feel that we must save him. He must be saved. I have laid out before him plainly and distinctly the instruction given me for him, pointing out the danger of his course. But he has acted like a man who has given up his mind to the management of his wife. He appears to be dazed, at the same time desirous of doing right. In mind, I am laboring with Dr. Sanderson day and night, seeking to save him from distraction, from making a leap in the dark. Mrs. Drouillard tells me she thinks that he is softening somewhat. He seems to feel sad to think he has brought any extra burden on me, and is disturbed to hear that I am sick because of the strain brought on me by his case. Like many others, Dr. Sanderson says that someone has told me what I have written him. But it was this way. Just before going to a meeting of the medical board, Brother Jones came to my room to talk with me. At this time, Maggie had nearly finished copying the matter sent you regarding Dr. Sanderson, and I opened before Brother Jones some things I had kept since the time you wrote me before conference, not to stir matters up. Dr. Sanderson's danger in regard to the mind cure science was the great burden of my soul. Knowing how difficult it is to handle the phases of this matter, I kept silent until such a time as I could express myself to the best advantage. In dealing with this subject, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I did talk with Brother Jones. He knew nothing of the matter before I spoke of it to him. He was greatly surprised, and said that Dr. Sanderson must surely be dealing with hypnotism. I told him to be guarded in regard to his words, not giving the doctor any excuse to think that he was dealt with harshly. Well, Brother Jones then went to the board meeting, and there Dr. Sanderson made a declaration that he had some wonderful theories which would be a great help to physicians. He explained in regard to these theories, and after he had finished, Brother Jones told him plainly that hypnotism was of the devil. Then word was passed round that Brother Jones had told Sister White, and that she had given it as a communication from the Lord. I seemed to be placed where I could do nothing but let the Lord take care of the matter. Thus the case stands at present. I have not yet learned what steps have been taken at this last meeting. My hope good has been accomplished. I can write no more now, but will say that we shall act on your suggestion. Do not worry. The matter is in God's hands. I have done all I possibly could. And now, I hope that I shall be free. I have a Christ-like love for Dr. Sanderson and his wife, and I believe they will come out all right. Let us have faith in God. Sarah says,
Mother, put your things on. The carriage is at the door.